Hello and welcome to the LSAT Demon Daily. My name is Eric Johansson. I'm an LSAT Demon team member. Joining me today is Haley Williams, who is a former LSAT Demon student who just crushed the LSAT and is here to share her LSAT success story. How are you doing today, Haley?
Good. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing pretty well. Great to meet you and great to have you on. Really appreciate your taking the time to come and share your story.
Yeah.
Why don't we... Of course. Yeah. Why don't we start at the beginning? Just give a sense of a broad overview of where you started with the LSAT and what your study timeline and approach looked like, and then where you ended up.
Oh, boy. So if we're going to start from the very beginning, I took my first LSAT in December 2017. So it's been over 5 years now.
Wow.
But I haven't been studying that whole time. So... there's that at least. So I took my first LSAT. I didn't study for it like a lot of people, apparently. I just kind of went in, and I was normally a good test taker all throughout school, so I didn't really worry about it. And so I got a 157 on my first LSAT.
Okay, so that
was not what I wanted.
That was an official attempt. When you say you didn't study, like, you had never looked at any LSAT questions before?
And had no idea what a logic game was. Yes.
Okay. So your first LSAT, your diagnostic was an official attempt and you scored a 157. That's a damn good diagnostic.
And I didn't know that at the time. I just knew it wasn't where I wanted to be. But shortly after that, I started looking into resources to help me study, because I thought I had way more in me than that. And so that's when I found Nathan and Ben's Thinking LSAT podcast, believe it or not. And that was a while ago. This was before the LSAT Demon or any of that even existed. Listen to a few podcasts. They're great. I love both of them. They play off of each other really nice. I like to think of both of them as good cop, bad cop. But anyway, I digress.
Sure.
I took a lot of their advice. You know, they're big on warning people about, you know, is this something that you really want? And I was much younger than I am now at the time. Obviously, this was 5 years ago. And so I kind of took that to heart, like, oh, maybe I should go out and live my life and figure out if this is something for me. So I did. I had a few jobs here and there. I worked in a couple law offices up in that point. And about a year ago, like, I'll say October 2021 was when I decided, yeah, this is what I want. I'm going to do this for real now. And then the LSAT Demon was a thing at the time. It had some pretty good reviews, so I decided to check it out. I heard a lot of the other prep courses. They were good too, but I don't know. I'd been pretty stuck on Ben and Nathan, and I trusted them up until that point. So I decided to give them a try, and I really liked their approach. A lot of the other prep courses that I had dealt with, or at least read about, were really theoretical. And it depends on the person, but I'm just nearly not that kind of philosophical person. I like to, mm-hmm. you know, really think things through as they are, instead of like these weird theoretical concepts. Mm-hmm. So I like how the Demon just kind of nosedived you right into the material.
Yeah.
So I studied the LSAT from about October 2021 until this year, November. I took Ben and Nathan's advice. I didn't register for any test until I was where I wanted to be with my practice scores, which was around the mid 170 range. Took the September LSAT this year, got a 167. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, that's a 10-point improvement over 4 years, 4.5 years. Still wasn't where I wanted to be, though. So I took the October LSAT, got a 169. And at this point, everyone around me was like, that's a great score. Are you sure you're going to want to take it again in November? I'm like, absolutely, yes. Of course I am. So at this point, you know, all my friends, family, coworkers were thinking I'm absolutely insane, which it is what it is. But I took my last LSAT last September. I think it was November 22nd. because I took the retake. I had some technical problems the first go around. And I got my score back and it was a 177. So it was like, awesome.
Heck yeah. Well, a little bit better than a 169.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, if I had listened to everybody around me, everything, my whole life would be so much different than it is now. It's crazy.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's so crucial that you trusted yourself, that you knew. You didn't panic. You didn't question whether you were capable of pulling off a higher score on the official test. You realize, no, I just need to give myself another chance and to score what I'm capable of.
And that's exactly what Ben and Nathan talk about all the time is, you know, you don't register for the official exam until you are where you want to be with your practice scores. So, I mean, seeing the 167 I got in September, like that, to be honest, that did hurt my ego a little bit, but it kind of softened the blow because I knew where I could be. So I was just geared up for the next test if I had to in November. So I really, that's a good piece of advice that they're giving out. I would definitely take that.
I think that's a great attitude to have. Seeing that, and I had a similar experience when I got my first official test score back and it was at the very low end of my range. There, I think you should, if you don't score what you're capable of, have a little bit of a ego hit, or at least feel annoyed by it.
Right.
But at the same time,
you shouldn't take that personally, because I mean, especially after my second attempt this year, I went from 167 to 169. I was a little more than annoyed at that point. I took that personally. I was pretty angry. So I think that is exactly the attitude that pushed me over the edge in November.
Yeah, but it didn't shake your confidence, which I think is the key thing.
Yeah, awesome. It just motivated me even more than I already was.
Heck yeah. So you went from a 157 cold diagnostic on your first official attempt to a 177 increase of 20 points. Amazing. You're just a completely different applicant from what you would have been. Along that road, I know you took a lot of time off to get some work experience. Once you started with your study, were there any stumbling blocks along the way? Did you feel like you just were making consistent progress? Were there any like things that you had to overcome to reach that next level?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you first start studying, the LSAT, there's a lot to learn within the LSAT. So, and even from test to test, there are completely different concepts on every test. So in the beginning, especially, I would see a lot of variance between my practice scores because I recognized that there were some areas of the test that I just didn't master yet. And then there were other areas that I was really solid. And I think it's the same for everybody. So there was a lot of variance in between until I got the consistency where I would regularly see everything and all the concepts on the test. And then you would just be able to rapid fire off. So there were definitely times where I would take a practice test, feel good about it, and score 163 or whatever. And I'm like, dang, I really thought I had that one. And then there'd be another test another weekend that I would take where I didn't feel good about it, and I would be 170. And I'm like, I wouldn't take it too personally in the beginning. Like, it just is what it is. The LSAT really rewards consistency. So if you just stick with it, just keep trudging through, it'll come to you eventually.
So that consistency is something that you brought into your study schedule or your study plan?
Yeah.
Were you putting in time every day
of my life? Yes, definitely. I mean, I worked full time throughout my study journey. I mean, I didn't give up any of my hobbies. I still hung out with my friends. I just kind of made the LSAT and studying for the LSAT part of my life, if that makes sense. And so it felt like less burdensome to tackle it that way because it was just kind of part of my routine.
Is it fair to say that you came to enjoy the LSAT?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a beast, but it's kind of In a weird way, I am obsessed with the LSAT. Like, it's just so interesting. And once you actually unlock what it's trying to teach, it's kind of like a puzzle. It's just a fun puzzle or a maze.
Absolutely. And what is it that you unlocked? What is it that you think the LSAT's trying to teach?
Personally, I really think that the most important lesson that I took away from the LSAT is teaching you if you can consistently fail almost, and you can just pick right back up and keep going. Can you fail over and over and over again and still want to try again and figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
It's testing if you really are committed to learning the LSAT. That's what I think the overall theme is. The LSAT writers are teaching you, if you're willing to fail over and over and over again to get to where you want to be, to figure it out.
For sure. And you clearly did figure it out. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm interested honing in on the games. The first time you took the LSAT, you had never seen a logic game before.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. What was the process like for you in learning the games? Did you find that took the longest? Did you kind of piece those together pretty quickly? I assume at 177, you were probably perfect on that section by the time you took the, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of the first section that I really focused on because it was so foreign and alien to me. I had never seen anything like that. And so it just kind of like frustrated me. I was like, why is this even a thing on this test? That's what I was thinking in the beginning. But it's really just, I mean, it's simple, really, once you get to the root of what logic games are trying to test takers. It's just testing if you can read directions and apply those directions with each other. Like, if you can take a set of rules and figure out between those set of rules how they interact with each other.
Absolutely. Which, again, I have not yet been to law school, but sounds like a lot of what goes into the law rules interacting, right?
It's interesting because, as I previously mentioned, so I worked in two law firms while I was studying for the LSAT. And there were times when I would be at work and I'd be like, this is like a logic game, or this is a logical reasoning question. So there is some practicality to the test, I think. It's just not as archaic, if that makes sense.
Totally, yeah. Now, I assume that some of your expert guidance that you got to call it good enough at 169 came from some of your coworkers. Have you had the chance to gloat and say, I told you so?
Oh, definitely. I mean, most of the attorneys I work with and my coworkers, I sent out my department specifically, my department-wide emails about all three of my scores. And they're like, wow, that's really good. And then my coworkers, it depends. Some of them do want to go to law school, and then some of them have no interest in going to law school. So they're just going up to me like, did you pass? I'll just say, yeah, I passed the LSAT. But yeah, I did get a chance to gloat on November 30th when I got that 177. I was in literal tears at my desk. It was amazing.
That's great. Well, what's next for you now that the LSAT is behind you? I you know, maybe you can still check in and do a logic game every once in a while just for fun. But now that the LSAT is behind you, what's next for you?
So I'm planning to apply this cycle, which I know Nathan's probably shaking his head if he hears this, because it's not early, it's December. But I'm going to shoot my shot with my GPA and my LSAT score. If I don't like my offers, my goal is to get the best full ride to the best school possible. If I don't like my offers, I'll just apply next cycle. No big deal. I still have a job.
Excellent. It's a great attitude. Well, I wish you the very best of luck. Please stay in touch. Let us know how things go. We would love to get updates on your application cycle. Any final parting words of advice for current students who are on their own roads to LSAT success?
The one takeaway that I would encourage is don't forget to take care of yourself. Keep seeing your friends. Keep doing your hobbies. keep going to work if that's what you enjoy. You'll be surprised at how much just even a little bit of happiness will help you in your journey. And I found that the most I improved was when I was working, going to the gym, hanging out with my friends, just having a blast.
Beautifully said. Take care of yourself, and it's going to translate into...
Yep, it'll come to you. Just be patient.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Haley, for joining and sharing your story. It was really great to chat with you. If you'd like to share some LSAT or law school admissions news, email daily@lsatdemon.com. Thanks for listening.